Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Remain standing for just a minute. We're going to pray. Hold hands clear across the auditorium. Father God, we've come to your house because this is a house of prayer. It's a house of worship. It's a house of instruction. It's like an armory. We are built up and we're trained and we're equipped to make a difference. Oh God, to make a difference in a broken world. We heard about broken lives a second or two ago. Broken lives, wounded, hurt, emaciated, fearful, feel unloved and unclean and unworthy and unwanted and unneeded. This is a world that's messed up because one man and one woman, you said, by their disobedience, sin was passed down. Father, if by one man's disobedience, the whole world has come under a horror of sin and debauchery and degradation, then by Jesus Christ, as we participated in the communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, by one man's obedience, by his death, burial, resurrection, the shedding of his blood, all men can be saved. All people, every nation, tribe, kindred, tongue, broken people, broken lives, divorced sometimes 6 times, 8 times, go to bed every night in a drunken stupor, going to the needle and shooting up, and all the corruption of pornography and immorality, all of the junk, the power in the blood can cleanse that away. Not just cover it, but cleanse it away and root it out. Bring wholeness and health and healing. And that's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper once a month, or some churches every week. But we celebrate it because we have an eternal, forever intercessor at the throne praying for us, who made intercession for the saints, praying for us that we would make it, that we would not be lost, we would not backslide, we would not throw in the towel, give up hope. We have an intercessor. And Father, today I want to talk about intercession. And I'm asking you, God, to speak to us through your word, that every single person in this building will understand intercessors are not just a little group of holy rollers or an amen corner in the church, a bunch of old women and men. No, no, no. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is called to be an intercessor. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That he heard the cry. He heard the shrieks. He saw. He had an ability to see what I can't see. He saw out of the corner of his eyes. He saw. He looked upon him with favor and grace and love and said, be thou made whole, be thou clean, your sins be forgiven. Don't go back, rise up. And the whole world has this news now. It's Christmas. The whole world has this news. They can't stop it. It's in the shopping center, it's in the mall. It's everywhere. Everywhere, jingle bells, Santa Claus, reindeer, but everywhere, it's Merry Christmas. Christ came. Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ paid the price. And now, Lord, all of us are Christians. All of us are Christians. I believe that everyone here wants to be. Everyone Nobody here wants to go to hell. Not one person. They wouldn't be here if they wanted to go to hell. Nobody here wants to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I claim for every man, woman, born, girl in this church right now, a Merry Christmas, because Christ is in their heart and Christ is in their life. And we have assurance that's blessed and eternal. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I woke up by a voice speaking to me last week in my ear audibly. I rarely ever hear God audibly. I hear my wife audibly. But in my ear, I line up before God. I was almost angry because I like to sleep. I get 4 to 5 hours sleep on average. But I do get up. And I don't say that because I'm spiritual. I just get up at 4 o'clock and I pray. I get about an hour and a half, and then I go back to sleep unless I'm too wide awake. And then I just stay up. But a voice spoke in my ear about 2 o'clock and said, get up and pray. And I turned over to scold my wife. I literally was going to chew her out. Don't you know I need my sleep? And she was snoring. And then I knew it was God once more warning me to get up and pray. And this is what he said. He said, pray for impending judgment. Pray for the ISIS attacks and for these crazies that are going around shooting up Christmas parties and love to behead and love to burn and kill and destroy. You're not helpless. So I got up and I prayed. I didn't know that day, early, about 11 o'clock, they would have invaded a birthday or Christmas party, a birthday party for Jesus, and kill 14 people and send 22 to the hospital. What a horrible Christmas for them, the families. What a horrible Christmas. Are we helpless, church? Are we powerless? Do we have to succumb to this? Do we have to just learn to live with it? No! I'm telling you right now, God has a people, God has a church, God has the body of Christ that Gary was talking about. God has a blood-washed, blood-bought, spirit-baptized church that has the keys of heaven. And the keys of earth, what we bind on earth shall be bound. What we loose on earth shall be loosed. But we don't use the keys. Sad to say this, and I will not apologize. Too much of Christianity wants stuff rather than to see the world converted. Rather than see the lives change that this precious brother that heads the restoration of those that are scarred and marred. We only think of prayer as getting from God something we need, a job, a car, a home, a toothache, a headache, a bellyache, a wife ache, a husband ache, or something. Yes, we come to God and we pray for all things and in everything by prayer and supplication, but the intercession part of praying, which we're all commanded to do, was to find out the mind and will and heart of God, why he put you on this planet and what you're here for. And he doesn't want this planet. Listen, you talk about greenhouse, you talk about pollution. He doesn't want this planet polluted by sin and corruption and hate. He doesn't want to destroy this planet. That's not his purpose of even creating. He's coming back to this planet to set up his kingdom. Come on, hallelujah. That's what it is. So let me get my perspective right. When God woke me up, somebody ran up to me. It was Ernie. Is Ernie Samora here in the second service? He said, why didn't you tell him, Apostle? See what happened in 79. When God wakes me up, or God gives me a vision, or God gives me a prophecy, I'm sure about it. I don't even question it. I don't try to figure it out. That's God's business. The consequences are with him. I prophesy this church is going to double in 30 days. I get a phone call from the man after 30 days, and he says, Apostle C, you lied. I just wait for the joke, because I know it's a joke. If I prophesy, said it didn't double, it tripled. Hallelujah. If God gives me a word and I prophesy it, and it happened. It happened in 1979. A prophecy came that crisis upon crisis upon crisis is going to be released upon the world. It's going to be starting. The next day, our embassy was invaded, true story, and 400 people, or how many hundreds, I forget now, were taken captive by the extreme Islamist regime. And can you imagine living in horror of their lives? Horror. Not being treated like human beings. And then the next day, Mount St. Helens burst. And then I begin to catalog every day another crisis, another crisis, another crisis. Now, folks, we've had wake-up calls in America. We've had Katrina. We've had blasts of earthquakes and hurricanes and floods and fires. And then 9/11 and on and on and on. Church, we have a key. We have a key. It's not our government. We have a key. It's not President Obama. We have a key. It's not the Republicans. We have a key. It's not the Democrats. We have a key. It is the key of binding and loosing through intercession and getting in the will and mind of God and find out what God's real intentions and purposes are. And one thing you must understand, that God is not out to kill the human race. That God is not out to destroy every living person. But we read a story, and we'll open with it in the Bible. It is found in the book of Exodus. Oh my, the 32nd chapter. God is speaking now in verse 9. He says, I have seen these people. And the Lord's talking to Moses. He said, I have seen these people, Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you a great nation. I could go on and color this up, but I'm not going to put words there. But if somebody was to come up to me and say, I'm going to destroy Gateway, and then I'm going to give you a church of 1 million people, you know, in California, I might be tempted. No. But here's Moses now being told, I am going to do this, God says, and I'll make you a great nation. But Moses, but, everybody say but. It's your but that you need to hear. You need to understand. You get angry. I get angry with sin. God gets angry with sin. But God has an intercessor. God has the Holy Spirit. God has a church, and God has a high priest that sits on the right hand of the throne in heaven. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord God, and he said, O Lord, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was the evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? That literally happened in our house. My brother Samson, who was a part of this church for many years, He was always in trouble. Always. I'm telling you, that, I mean, had startup lickings. You know, you have 10 for this, 20 for that. He had a list of lickings coming. I mean, we ought to all feel so sorry for Samson. He was always in mischief. My brother is only a year older than me. And I used to pray for him because he beat me up. And I prayed for him, God, kill him. Certainly, anyone that beats me up deserves killing. I became a drug addict. He became a heroin user, but worse than a user, a seller of heroin to our innocent teenagers and young people that wanted a fix. And he was arrested and thrown in jail. We took his two little boys in our home, although we had diaper baby of our own. We took him in, then we interceded. We went to the court, we went to the judge, and we said, will you let him out? He's been in jail for several years. Let him out. We'll take charge and custody. We've got the children in our house, and we'll put him in Teen Challenge. Hey, brother, Teen Challenge. Another rescue operation. And as long as he stays in there, we believe he'll keep out of drugs and keep out of all of this filthy life that he was leading. And so we got court order. He had to go to Teen Challenge from a no little cell. Now he's with a bunch of praying people. They get up in the morning at 6 o'clock and pray. No smoking allowed, no drinking allowed. They all are being discipled, all having instructions, and there is a standard, and there is a modus operandi. Samson came out of Teen Challenge. When all of my family members said, he's hopeless. All the time that Shirley and I was interceding, he's hopeless, he's hopeless. He'll never give up. He's a loser, he's a loser. You know what? I was a loser. You were a loser. We are all losers. And God is looking for losers. Come on, hallelujah. But he wants someone to be an intercessor, to intervene. I'll give you that scripture in a minute. And Moses said, God, you don't want the Egyptians to say you couldn't do it, that you brought them out to kill them. Turn from your fierce anger. Relent. Do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac. What's that got to do with it? Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land that I promised them. Wow. And it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord, listening to a mere mortal, listening to a man called Moses, he relented and did not bring on to the people the disaster that he had threatened. Now, many of the translations said God repented. And I used to argue. I used to get in an argument with people because I said God never repents. Relent is a different word. It's just kind of a nicer word. Let me say something about your God. He never, ever enjoys, gets excited, gets happy, rejoices over someone thrown in jail, locked up, drug addict, or delirium tremens, filthy, immoral lifestyle, raping, killing, child abuse, sexual abuse. God never rejoices in punishing them. He has an alternative, and it's called the church. It's called the church. We're the light, we're the salt, we're the hope, We're the vehicle. We're his hands. We're his disciples. We're his preachers, teachers. We're his followers. And think about this. Think of today's world, because many of God's followers don't understand that God is exalted and God rejoices and God gets excited and gets happy when the church does the thing that only the church can do. I'm going to make a statement now that's going to shock you. True story. 2 o'clock in the morning, God wakes you up and says, pray for Pastor David. Pray for Apostle C. Pray for Gary. Pray for Sally, Susie. Pray for this one. And you say, oh, I'll pray in the morning when I'm wide awake. I'll wait and maybe have my coffee and shower. And listen to me. When God calls you to pray for somebody, puts it in your mind, puts it in your thinking apparatus, do it then. If he says, pray for a missionary, believe you me, that missionary is in jeopardy. Believe that missionary, ISIS is looking for him. Look at the Lord. He warns. He gives words of knowledge. He gives prophetic visions. He makes us aware of needs all the time. And we're so bogged down praying for our own needs and wants that we have little time to be the intercessors that can move the hand of God and send revival and bring deliverance and bring healing to a nation. Can you say amen? We've got the keys of hell and death and destruction. We've got the keys because he got the keys when he went and descended the lower parts of the earth and took them away from Satan. And Satan said, you have no authority here. This is the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus said, look at my hands. Those are nail prints. Look at my side. Been pierced. My blood was shed. Give me those keys. And Satan cowered and froze, screamed to the devils, help, help, help. And all demons' kingdom was paralyzed by the person of Jesus there in hell saying, I have the keys of hell. He ascended on high, the Bible said, and led captivity captive. He ran up the heavenly ladder from the grave, from Hades, from hell. And the Bible says in Matthew 27:52, the graves were open and hundreds of Jews were seen walking around praising God. Come on, everyone. If you don't believe in the power of the Lord to change. One man prayed and 3 million people were spared. It was always God's will to spare them. It was always God's will. But in Ezekiel 22:30, he said, I searched for a man. I looked for a man. I sought for one who would make a wall and stand in the gap before her. I want that man, that woman to stand in the gap. I want my church to stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. What a terrible indictment at the end here, but I found none. I found none. Now, can I give you a for instance? And this is only a legend, but I really believe this legend. Let me just give it to you. See, God is looking for those who will stand in the gap as Moses did. And you can do that for a person. You can do that for a church. You can do that for a city. You can do that for a house. You can do that for a family. You can choose a situation and do what Moses did and find out what God thinks about it.
But listen to this. There's a legend which says that when Jesus was ascending into heaven after his earthly ministry, he was met by an angel. "Welcome back," Jesus said to the angel. "Everybody's glad to see you home. Tell me, Jesus, what did you do to make sure your work will continue now that you're gone?" And Jesus replied, "I trained those 12 men." See them? Look at them. Peter, James, there, look at them. I trained those 12 men down there. And the angel laughed out loud. "Those meatballs. Why? They didn't understand half of what you taught them. They deserted you, all but one." None of them believed in your resurrection. None of them showed up on Easter Sunday. If they were believers, they would have shown up to see the resurrection. They missed it, but they saw the empty tomb. Now, I'm saying this, that God has a church of human beings like you, just like you. No better, no worse, just like you. And he entrusts us, so much so that he could brag to the angel, "With those 12, I'm going to get the gospel to the whole world. To generations yet unborn are going to be inspired through their writings, their teachings, and their messages, and generation after generation until the appointed time of the end of this dispensation." He believed in the church. And every time I think I'm going to quit the ministry because of pressures, because of physical disabilities, because of offenses, because of rejection, because of low finance in certain times of my life, and doors shutting and people misunderstanding and all of that, I'm going to leave them. Every time, how can I leave the ministry when people are going to hell by the millions? How can I leave the ministry? I have to do what little I can do. I can do it with the help of God. And I talk to myself like David. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why, Emmanuel, are you ready to throw in the towel? Why are you allowing this bitterness to come, this hurt, this offense, this scandal on? Why? Shake it off. Get up. Wash your face, shine your shoes, speak in tongues, and cast out devils." Hallelujah. And always, and I would say hundreds of times. Now, Gary confessed something I didn't know, that for 20 years, he disliked you. I never was that bad, never. However, he had a title in our church. He was called the Chopper. We sent him out to straighten out people that were trying to hurt and ruin and divide and destroy what God was doing in this beautiful, prayerful community called Calvary Gospel, Evangel, Church of the Crossroads. Three things about Moses. He had, when he was praying, to hear from God what was the problem. He had to hear from God what was the result, what was the consequence. He had to hear from God before he started really praying with the faith and the confidence. So intercession is not just a whim. Something pops in your head and you just start, no, name it and claim it. No, that's not it. Not a pizza dream. No. It's hearing what is God's will. What is God's purpose? What is God's plan? Jesus in Luke, the 6th chapter, he had been in Capernaum, casting out devils, healing the sick, praying. He was exhausted. And yet the Bible said he went up into a mountain and prayed all night. All night. Wait a minute. You've been ministering all day. Prayed all night. What does God have to pray about? God don't need your money. God don't need, oh, come on. What does he have to pray about? He had to pray Because the next day he was to choose 12 world changers. And they were fishermen. They were argumentative. They were jealous. They were human. They were just like you, men of like passion, the same as you. He had to pick them. He had thousands of people following him. Thousands. But God said, come up on the mountain and we'll talk it over. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus told him, Peter. Why Peter? John, why? Why, Jay? Why? Why? No, he never had to ask why. Because he said, everything I do, I see God do. Everything I say, I hear God say. How many would like to be like that? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Life was so simple for Jesus. He had a road map. He had a GPS. He never was walking in a blind street. He always knew this is God's will. Settle it in your heart right now. It's God's will. You have a purpose for your life, and it's God's will that you fulfill that purpose and destiny. You got it. He wouldn't have called you. He wouldn't let you be born. You didn't come here by accident. You are a part of God's ultimate plan, ultimate intention to save the entire world. Come on, everybody. You should clap now and shout. You are important to God. You're special to God. Purpose. And then in Ezekiel it says, God looked for a man and couldn't find him. Folks, I don't like the next verse. It said, because he couldn't find him, they were hopelessly lost. The Bible said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. If we hide our light under the bushel, somebody is going to have blood on their hands. And so when I hear a voice, get up and pray. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter jubilation and excitement and zeal and no presence that time of the morning. And just get up. Get up and pray. This church was built on prayer. Gary and all the young people that are still around know that we prayed 1 hour every service. It's called pre-service prayer. 1 hour every Sunday morning, 1 hour every Sunday night, 1 hour every Wednesday. We prayed because we want what God wants. We don't want to play at church. We don't want to play religious games. It's not about just a building packed and crowded and a lot of activity, but it's about bringing glory and honor to God and make him rejoice. And you know what it says? There's more rejoicing in heaven over one that is lost that comes than those that are saved already. Come on. That's the way God adds and subtracts. More rejoicing. It says, know ye not, you that see a guy go out of the way and you restore him and bring him back? God says, there's more rejoicing over that. There is a reward system in heaven. Someone said, I let the praying be done in my home by my wife. She's the prayer. No, fellows, you're the prayer. Little girls, little children can pray. I taught my daughters to pray. When they were 3 or 4 years old, when I got sick, I said, Daddy's got a headache. I'd say, put your hand on my head. Why would I ask a little girl to pray? Because they don't know how to doubt. The second thing about Moses, he reminded God of the promise. The promise you gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, you're a promise keeper. When you pray, God loves it when his kids remind him of his word. Not that he needs reminding, but it makes him feel good. Just like when you said to your child, I'm going to buy you this for Christmas. You're going to get a birthday present. And they got all excited. God loves it when you say, God, you got a promise here. And you're a promise keeper. And you're, all right, the doctor said cancer. but you're a promise. All right, the doctor said hopeless. All right, but you're a promise. The doctor said, your boss said, the government said, the devil said. What did God say? What did God say? Hallelujah. I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I was raised in a praying home. My dad was no Mother Teresa. He beat the living daylights out of everybody. But he loved to pray. Samson would get 40 stripes, and David's father, Pastor David's father, would take 20 of them because my dad would kill him. But he prayed. One thing my dad taught me, when all the other kids were sent to bed, he said, Pee-wee, you can stay in the all-night prayer meeting. Of course, I was prideful. I get to stay, ha, ha, ha. But I watched my daddy pray for demon-possessed people, people that were actually controlled by the devil. The devil would argue and yell, scream, hiss. Prayer works. How many believe that? Prayer works. Now, I want 20 or 30 people run up here quickly as I close this message. Quickly, run up here, run up here. You can be anybody, 20 of you, 20 of you. We're gonna do something right now. I'm going to explain to you. All right. All right, everybody lock arms. Everybody lock arms. Face the audience. Face the audience. Lock arms. Clear across the building. Clear across the building. The Bible says, in speaking of what happened to Moses, the Bible said in Psalms 106 that God was looking for an intercessor. He sought for a man who would stand in the gap. That's what it says in Ezekiel. But that's what it says in the Psalms about this very passage in Genesis. Moses looked for that gap that's in the wall, because there's a wall of protection around your home, a wall of protection. You as a father, you as a mother, you as a husband, you as a wife, there's a wall of protection. And sometimes things happen that causes a breach. A breach. And when there's a breach, somebody has got to stand in the gap. So let me see. I can't get through there. I can't get through there. I can't get through there. Satan, the prince of this world, comes and he finds no place. Oh, there's a little breach there. Plug it in there. Glory to God. Plug it in there. Glory to God. Through intercession, I can tell you right now that my entire family is now saved through intercession. Come on, every one of my grandchildren are saved through intercession. Somebody shout hallelujah. Don't give up. No matter how mean and nasty they may seem, keep praying. God's going to get them. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit of conviction will come and bring them. You're a wall of protection. In front of God, I say this. This church is not what it is because of my doing. I get a lot of honor and a lot of credit. This church is what it is because of the praying people in this church. You can honor me all you want. I know the source. I'm a total wreck and a failure without the anointing of God in the power of God. But praying people have laid hands upon me since I was a little boy, prophesied over me. Intercessors, I've been scolded. I've been blessed. I've been loved. I've been discipled. And I'm still being discipled. But when you tell me in a Christmas card or a letter or an email, I'm praying for you. When you say, Pastor David, I'm praying for you, that's better. That's better than a check for $1,000. You can give them one too, but yeah, that's better. Hallelujah. That's spiritual clout. I want to ask you to stand, and I want you to raise both hands
Please do this. Please do this. Make a promise to God that you want to be an intercessor. An intercessor is one that intercedes. That's it. That intervenes. That's it. That plugs the gap. That's it. Just be an intercessor. Daily, daily, daily. Pray for America. Pray for the president. Pray for the Senate. Pray for Congress. Pray for the world. Pray for Syria. Pray for our enemies. Oh, God, pray. Right now, to tell you the truth, we're seeing a lot of anti-Islamic talk. But I want you to know someone that's been and spent months in the Holy Land and in Egypt and Syria and all those countries. I want to tell you something. There's a greatest number of people being saved among the Islamic people than ever before in the history. Come on, hallelujah, right now. Don't let your hatred towards the enemy stop believing that intercession can turn those things around and God will eliminate those that are going to cause harm and hurt to America and to the missionaries and to the Christian population. All right. Raise your hands one more time. Lord Jesus, say it. I volunteer to be an intercessor. Ordain me now. I want to be an intercessor. You called me for that purpose. The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of evangelism. The ministry of intercession. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now just start doing your first intercession. Grab a hold of somebody you don't know and just say, I'm going to pray for you right now, sister. Somebody you don't know. Just take somebody right now. Someone you don't have real intimate relationship with. Pray for them right now. Hallelujah. You might even want to know your Let's pray. Let's pray. Pray for peace. Pray for joy. Pray for a Merry Christmas. Pray for souls in the family to be saved. Pray for people to warm up to Jesus. Hear the good news. Get excited. Pray, God, stop the killing. Stop the violence. Wake up your church. God said he could do it with 12. God said he could do it with 12. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you. God bless you, Pastor. Everybody say, Jesus, use me. God bless you. Every one of you have a merry, 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 merry prayerful intercessory Christmas. Look for people that are hurting. Look for people that are sad. Look for people that don't have a meal. Invite them over to your house. Light up their neighborhood. You ought to come to my house and see. I got lights. I'm lighting it up. They're installing a manger scene at my house. I want the world to know Jesus loves them. He loves them. He cares for them. He wants, you know what, I love to see young people like these three right here, intercessors, intercessors. God bless you as the prayer team comes, the healing team, come and stand in the front. You need help, we're here to help you. We're here to help you, come on. We're here to pray with you. We're here to bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to be in a hurry. Somebody needs your prayers. We're here to help you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Stand in the gap. Plug the hole. Prayer does it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Rabba zagaburu buru baladalala. Hallelujah. There it is.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.